Hello, I'm Dr. Ruth Roberts, your pet's ally. I hope all is well and that things are now chilling as far as this broadcast goes. So, Hiyo. So we're in Montana in a new spot, and Hiyo and Mona are thinking they need to bark at everything because they're little dogs and that's what they do. So without further ado, Kathy is continuing to have some issues with her pups. So the first one is that Daisy started to throw up bile again, but she realizes she got L-glutamine rather than L-glutathione. And that may be part of the issue, because glutamine can be actually irritating to the gut. So I would definitely take that out, make sure that's not an issue, and stop everything as far as the beef, bone broth, and anything that's relatively new to her diet, because I know she's such a sensitive girl. So Kathy, I would do that, give it 3 days, see if that solves the problem or not. And you're having difficulty getting anything done just because everything is still way shut down there. So what I would suggest doing is, ideally before you start ursodiol, yes, you would get an ultrasound to make sure that there's no evidence of obstruction of the bile duct, and also that it is needed as far as there's sledging in the gallbladder, things of that nature. So I would check that out. If you are just SOL, and we know we're working on liver enzymes, I would take out all the things, as I said, give it 3 days, make sure she stops vomiting. And then if there's just no way to get into town for an ultrasound, then I would try the ursodiol. So the stop point would be, again, if vomiting restarts. So I hope that's helpful. And then Dottie is licking around her vulva, and she's got some brownish color around the outside. And so that often is associated with allergies, just like both Daisy and Dottie starting to lick their paws. And you mentioned that you had started bone broth, and that may well do it. So it's very interesting. Bone broth is sort of put out there as the best thing since sliced bread. Haha. But it turns out that it can cause histamine release. And I experienced this personally, and this is why I know about it. So it's something to do with the way that when you cook any protein, and pork is typically associated as being the worst offender as far as histamine release, and that's why it's poisonous and toxic to dogs in some people's estimation. And that is not true. It is a histamine releaser, but so are kidney beans, for instance. And in general with meats, if they're cured and the longer they sit around, so hence bone broth that has cooked for 24 hours, the compounds that can create histamine release go up. So again, stop the bone broth and see if that 86 is the problem. So I hope that's helpful. And then if you have quercetin, and I think you do, Kathy, I would try bumping that dose up. So instead of, for both those girls, you could use two capsules up to three times a day safely without creating any problems. And that should help with the itching too. So see how that goes for you. And then Sri is asking about sort of what else helps with gastric reflux symptoms. And she lists four things. So George's aloe juice before bed. There's a lot of people that use aloe juice, and I think that it is something to consider. But frankly, of all the things that you mention, I would start with slippery elm bark. And what I would do is mix something like a half a teaspoon of that with each meal and see if that doesn't slow things down. If she's a really easy eater, you can also mix it up with some water and then maybe a little bit of some sort of a stock or something of that nature to get her to drink it half an hour or so before meals and see if that helps as well. Bread slice with ginger and manuka honey. No, I wouldn't use that because the bread is going to give, give more stuff to deal with, and it actually is broken down really quite quickly. Four meals a day instead of two big meals. ideally, no, you would not do this because of the insulin spikes. So if that makes it better, if the slippery elm doesn't work, then I would, you can try that. And then the last question she had was on marshmallow extract, and that's been very helpful for things of that, for things like that. And what I would do is use roughly start with 1/4 of the human dose, and then go with something like go up to half of the human dose as your final dose. So, and then she's asking also about Dr. Willard's water, which I had not heard of. And so this is, again, it's kind of new to me, but here's the ingredients. So mycelized stuff, basically some sodium, calcium, castor oil, which is interesting, and magnesium sulfate, and then fossilized organics from refined lignate. Now, castor oil can be irritating to the stomach, so I don't know that I would use this product. There is another product available that Zach Bush created. It used to be called Restore. It's now called Ion Gut Health, but it takes that same idea of these refined lignates and uses that. Yeah, and Leona, you're right about the slippery elm. You do need to make sure you get enough water into it. So if you can get a little bit in to start with and then add a lot more water to the food, I think that helps tremendously. Now, what he did with this product and what the theory is of why it works is that those refined lignets from soil, essentially, and this is not a probiotic product, which a lot of people think is, what that's supposed to do is help to improve the quality of the mucus in the GI tract and essentially act as what he calls a firewall for absorbing all the junk out there. I tried it personally. I didn't find much help. I've had a couple of people try it with really not terrific results. But this would be a product I would trust more than Dr. Willard's water. So I'll put that link in here because it's just castor oil is just not a very nice thing. So here's that. And so Sri, I hope that's helpful for you, but that's kind of what I would go to rather than the Willard's water. That's a pretty bizarre product, but there you go. And then Sita's asking if this batch looks like she didn't add enough veggies. And so let's see, let me pop back over this photo. And Sita, I think it just depends on kind of what you started with. I can see some carrots and some greens and things like that. If you're using a lot of leafy greens rather than things that are solid like zucchini, then what I would suggest doing is doubling the greens and or combining them with things that are going to simply bulk up a little bit more. So I hope that makes sense and wonder how Jessie liked that. And then let's see, we've got a couple of other questions here. She's also asking if it's advisable to give digestive enzymes to a dog with high amylase and lipase on their blood work, or is the body making too much of its own enzymes and out of whack because it needs them? And so she's saying Jessie, her Cushing's pup, does not have pancreatitis, but she's getting a little concerned. Here is the really super frustrating thing about amylase and lipase, and that is that they can be fairly elevated in perfectly normal dogs. And then they can also be normal in dogs that have active pancreatitis. And so, what I would suggest is because pancreatitis is often linked to Cushing's disease, I would start gently with some digestive enzymes. And I think you need to think about why does my dog need digestive enzymes? So this used to be sort of an out-of-hand response to any dog that had GI issues. And what I found is that they actually make things worse. So to be scientific about it, and you know, times are tight right now, you would have a Texas A&M GI panel, and that looks at TPLI, which is somewhat more accurate. So that's trypsin-like immunoreactivity, and I can't remember how they get the P in there, but there you go. That's a little bit more sensitive as far as whether there's some pancreatitis brewing. And it also looks at cyanocobalamin and folate. And those may or may not be helpful. My guess is that those are going to be off just because Jesse's gut's pretty whacked out from the Cushing's. The other thing that they do test for is for insufficient pancreatic enzymes. And so if you're finding that that is really quite low, then those are good reasons to start with digestive enzymes. Having said all of that, there are always subclinical diseases, meaning the test isn't positive until you're actually super sick. So if you want to try a digestive enzyme, you can. There's one on the website that is made by Claire, and I found that to be a really good place to start because it's fairly low dose. And for Jesse, I would start with something like a quarter of a capsule per meal. The concern with pancreatitis and the enzymes already being elevated is that if you throw, what happens with pancreatitis is that those enzymes become elevated in the blood because the pancreatic duct is unable to get those enzymes out into the digestive tract. And so there is some evidence that if orally, that it can actually make that pancreatitis or subclinical pancreatitis worse. And having said subclinical, again, the deal is that there is sort of an acute form of where your dog is vomiting, has horrible diarrhea, and is in the hospital. And then there's chronic pancreatitis where they just don't feel good. And they may have some evidence of abdominal pain, like licking their lips, stretching, things of that nature. And that's a situation where sometimes I've seen the enzymes be helpful and sometimes not. So I hope that's clear as mud, and I apologize, I can't make it clearer because some of it, again, is just feeling our way through this to try and get things squared away. And then the other question Sita has is if the reduced consult fee is still available. And yes, it is. So for all of you guys that are on iPads Ally, the consultation fee is reduced to $100. And if you need help with that, just message Hannah at the Dr. Ruth Roberts at drruthroberts.com address, and I'll drop that in here for you. And then she can get you an invoice for that so you're able to get there. And Leona's asking if there's a way to amend the Croc-Pet diet for puppy's growth. And Leona, because this is set up for all life stages, what that means is that it's going to be lower in calories and protein and things of that nature, calories in general, than a puppy food, for instance. So that can be useful, and it can be difficult when you're trying to keep up with a large breed dog that's growing. This I want you to keep in mind. For large breed dogs that are prone to joint issues like knee issues, hip issues, things of that nature, you want to keep them towards the lean side. And what I used to say in practice is you want to keep them lean enough that your neighbors are asking if you're feeding your dog enough or not. So on that body condition scale of 1 to 9, you want to keep them at about a 3.5 to 4. So where you can just a little bit more than usual pick out ribs. Now, having said that, if your puppy is growing really well, what you can do is two things to bump up the calories, and for a puppy I would do both. One is adding in extra carbohydrates. So for instance, if you're using rice or quinoa or potatoes as a carbohydrate source in the diet, I would go just make up a little extra and add, depending on your puppy size, somewhere between a tablespoon and a quarter cup extra per meal. King Charles Cavalier Spaniel. I'm slow in the draw. So for King Charles, I would definitely work towards the lean side because that's going to help them grow more efficiently. And then the other option would be to add in a little bit of fat. So I would say something like start with a quarter teaspoon, work up to a teaspoon, teaspoon and a half per meal, and do this slowly so we don't upset his stomach. But I think that will get you there. So does that make sense, Leona? I hope so. And then the protein, the deal with that, we're not going high protein, which used to be the big theory for puppies, you know, big high protein diets. Because if the muscle grows faster than the joint, then the joints end up being compressed more and bearing more weight. And, so slow the muscle growth down so that the body grows sort of uniformly, if that makes sense. And with King Charles Cavalier Spaniels, because they are more prone to heart disease, amongst other things, these guys, I would definitely have a CoQ10 and some sort of taurine, which you've got now in Holistic Total Body Support available, to help that heart muscle grow as efficiently as possible. A lot of people like to throw in carnitine as well, which I think is not a bad idea. Yes, good deal. All right, cool. And then Bettina's got follow-up questions about the rabies titer. So if the rabies titer comes back low and this dog had cancer or seizure activity, would this dog need to get vaccinated, or is the condition enough to say no rabies vaccine and a waiver due to medical? And then the follow-up question there is, is there a liability to the veterinarian if they give a rabies vaccine waiver due to medical conditions? So here's the frustrating part. If the rabies titer is low, that means that the dog is not protected. Now, if the disease has been severe enough, and again, this is going to be what your veterinarian decides is okay or not okay, what they feel comfortable with. With those diseases, I would not repeat the rabies vaccine, because I am concerned that the immune system is going to be overstimulated and create issues as far as possibly the cancer or a new cancer kind of coming back, seizure activity, because the brain is, the neurologic system is sort of the trophic or the thing that the rabies vaccine tends to migrate to. Again, that's worrisome. Is there a liability to the veterinarian if they give a rabies vaccine waiver and your dog bites a human? No, there is not. They're exercising their medical judgment. And so I hope that is helpful. And again, I think we had posted some information about vaccines, and there is a link to the most recent rabies compendium. So I think if you take that to your veterinarian, that may be very helpful as well. And Susie is asking, what are good ways to entice a dog to eat, and treats or foods would you recommend when they have nausea, lack of appetite, and occasional vomiting? And Goldie seems to have nausea, she thinks, from the gabapentin, which has been worsening in the last few months, but she had just been on a course of antibiotic for the infection in her snout. So, Susie, I hope Goldie is healing up well. And what I would do is two things. You can work on improving the nausea by using things like probiotics if you're not already, and I think you are. And then also, this is where slippery elm can be very helpful with nausea. Bitters is another one that we forget about. I believe there's some Wise Woman herbal bitters on the shop. Let me see if they're there. But that can be very helpful. And what you would do is just add, you know, ideally for us, we would take it, you know, in some water half an hour or so before a meal. If that's not doable, you could add it to some super delicious something that is an easy enticement to get down. And I don't have them in here. We'll add that in. But if you need a link to a product, it's Wise Woman Herbals. They make an excellent bitter product. So ideally you'd add it to some water to get that down. That can be a little difficult, so you might use a little bit of honey in there and then offer the food about half an hour later. And then the slippery elm we just discussed. So again, you could use the slippery elm and the bitters in one go. Use a little honey or some sort of stock to entice that actually being consumed and see if that helps. So that's helpful. And then if the vomiting doesn't stop after the cephalexin, then I would get that checked out because it's just not, that's not really normal. And I think that's all of our questions for today. And Leona, glad you're here. Glad I can help you out a little bit. Any other questions you all can think of that I am not, haven't gotten covered for you today? So I'll give you a couple of minutes because I've got a bit of delay. And we'll go from there. And that's what I know for this week. So until next week, I'm Dr. Ruth Roberts, your pet's ally, and we will talk soon. And if there's, you know, just keep those questions coming. Thank you so much.